Hello, listeners, and welcome back to Recovery Talk, a podcast from the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence. I'm your host, Shannon Roberts. Each month, we'll be talking with an expert in the field, discussing substance use challenges, resources to assist individuals with substance use challenges and/or their families, and best practices for the delivery of peer recovery support services. This month, we are bringing you an episode with one of our organizational stakeholders, Dolan International. In it, we speak with Joanna Dolan, who also happens to be one of our steering committee members, and Chris McGinnis about their work through and operations of Dolan International. And without further ado, let's get talking. All right, listeners. Well, I'm here with Chris and Joanna of Dolan Research International. Joanna, Chris, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Our listeners probably know you, Joanna, but it has been a while. Do you want to give a little introduction and then we can hand it over to Chris to introduce herself?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Joanna Dolan. I am the CEO and founder of Dolan Research International. And I have been doing this work since 2009. I am a person in long-term recovery. And for me, that means that I haven't used any mood or mind altering drugs in any abusive way since 1997. I say any abusive ways. I am a person in long-term recovery from both mental health and substance use disorder. And I am also one of the steering committee members for the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence. My core team is Core Team One. We focus on integrating peers into non-traditional settings.
Thanks, Joanna. Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris McGinnis. And I work at Dolan Research International. I've been working there since, I guess it was like the end of February, beginning of March of 2021. So I'm one of those rare ones that like decided to join the workforce during the pandemic. Prior to that, I was a stay-at-home mom for, I guess at that point, it was 11 or 12 years. I met Joanna before the pandemic and learned a little bit about what they were doing. And it just absolutely fascinated me. So when an opportunity came, I jumped at it and sent her my sad little resume and was like, I'm, you know, so invested in this work that you're doing. So, and interested in it. I'm also currently in school to become a LCSW. The starting point, anyway. I'm not sure I'll stay at that certification or move up. But when I learned about peers and coaches, I knew I was like, that is where I want to be. I'm also someone with long-term recovery from mental health and also substance use disorder. And, you know, didn't know about peer work when I was new in recovery. And I can see ways in which that would have been an incredible benefit to my personal recovery. And I say this all the time, but you can't manufacture a lived experience. And I think that component is so incredibly important to have in all levels of care. And so what I do at Dolan is I'm the director of Dolan Academy, which means I get to work with peers through, I think I want to step into this career path to training, to certification, to now what, you know, and it's very fulfilling. I love getting to work with peers, helping them network, developing curriculum. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I love to stay on top of best practices and, you know, reading and developing curriculum is, I love it because I get to nerd out. I get to do some research and then write about it and then, you know, see it implemented is, really fulfilling. So I love the work that we do at Dolan.
That's very cool. Thank you, Chris, for sharing your story. Can you, either of you, tell me a little bit more about Dolan, the whole organization, what you all do, what you all focus on?
Yeah, sure. So Dolan is, well, we do a lot of things. We have three main buckets. The first bucket is that we are a recovery community support organization. So we really support our local, and by local, I mean like Maryland and the DMV. And actually, we've been growing a little bit more into advocacy work. We do a lot of boots on the ground type of stuff. All of that has been huge for us. And now we're starting to have conversations about how do we turn that into like a real recovery community organization. And then the way that we fund that is through two things, right? So one is consulting in how do we create addiction treatment and recovery community organizations into real recovery friendly organizations, and how do we integrate peers and recovery coaches into that? And that's where Dolan Academy comes into play, is that we work with organizations and individuals to be able to develop their workforce and to develop themselves as professionals and to deepen personal recovery. And I think that's it. Chris, did I leave anything out?
No, that was like a really great synopsis of what we do. I just want to add that we are very relationship driven. And so that is very important to us at Dolan, is really investing in those relationships and supporting each other, you know, because so much of recovery care can be fragmented. And so really developing relationships and connecting recovery supports across counties, you know, is really important. And it's something that we, it's really important for us to do here at Dolan. And so we try to create opportunities for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. The relationship building is such a common theme when talking with stakeholders in their recovery or peer organizations, is that the vitality to their success is hinged on that relationship building. Can you speak a little bit to what that looks like for you all, that process and maintenance?
Yeah, sure. So I think that the thing about relationships with us is that if I don't know you, I can't serve you, right? And if I don't, and if you don't know me, then you don't know how to work with me either, right? So I think one of the ways that I see relationships is that we are constantly in stewardship, right? Like I am constantly in stewardship at Dolan for Dolan, and also with Chris, right? Like, and we're constantly in communication, and that's part of that. Understanding like who we are as individuals and how we evolve as individuals, and how what that impact is going to be on our business and on our advocacy work and on our work with our stakeholders, as well as the organizations that we serve, right? So and I can speak to that a lot more, and Chris can speak to the individuals that we serve, because there is a little bit of a difference there.
Sure.
So with the organizations that we serve, like my job, as I see it, is that we get to know you, right? Like we ask a lot of questions, and I want to know like what's under the hood, if you'll let me know what's under the hood. And knowing what's under the hood really helps me to understand like the culture of the organization that we are, that the peers and coaches that we work with are influenced by, how they are being perceived. And then that helps us to be able to influence that organization and the leaders of that organization's viewpoint. And then that gives us the ability to impact the culture from the top up as well as the bottom up. And then that helps us to be able to see like, what are the informal policies and procedures that exist, and what are the formal ones, and where do we need to like massage them or all out like adopt new things in order for peers to be successful and recovery coaches to be successful inside of a treatment or a court or a recovery community organization. And we find out all of that information by being trusted advisors. Like if you tell us something, it's going to stay a vault, right? We are a vault. Our job is to help you do your job, which is to get your organization to support the most number of people in helping to end this epidemic. Mm-hmm. And so that sometimes for some people, that means that we do networking events with them, or we provide a space for them to get continuous training, both free and for payment. And then we connect people, right? Like we are resource brokers. We live the peer and coaching model, right? Like we are resource brokers connecting organizations to each other and leaders, and everybody's a leader. So when I say leader, I'm literally meaning everybody in that organization is a leader. So we're connecting everyone to the organizations and the people that they need to know in order to be able to perform their functions better. And then in addition to that, we are keeping in contact with them like through email, and we use a really robust text messaging service. So we communicate with people like, hey, this is happening. You might want to come. Don't know. It's okay if you don't, but you might. And like asking lots of questions like, where do you need help? Like, what do you see coming down the line? Like 3 months, 6 months, a year, 30 days from now, and how can we support you in that? So did I answer that question?
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Chris, did you have anything to add?
I was just going to say that I think Joanna and I, like, we're a good team. And I really enjoy getting into sort of the nitty gritty with the peers. And really supporting them along the pathway to certification and beyond. And so I get to really know them as I'm supporting them through that process. And through our making connections and growing that network, we're able to connect peers to organizations for internships or for service hours or just connecting for a resource, and that is fun work. And like Joanna had that analogy of like what's under the hood. We at Dolan kind of have a saying, like, the right people on the right bus going in the right direction. And that's really what we want for each agency and organization. It's like you have a niche, you have this, product or service or program or something. We want to get you the right people so that you can serve the population that you are targeting, and then how we can all work together. And through this relationship building, we've actually been able to participate in a lot of really cool stuff going on in the state, and which then gets us in front of more people. So we're able to make more connections. And it's so cool how just meeting someone at a conference can then go, hey, we're trying to integrate this peer program. Okay, cool. How can we support you? Like, what is it that you need? And then being able to build a product that allows them to build the program and then to see that thrive. It's really fun. And like I said, this work is very fulfilling. I pinch myself. Like I literally just fell into this work and I love it so much. And Yeah. But yeah, the relationship building part, that is so key. And, and just, you know, just being able to support people who are, doing such necessary work, you know?
Right. Right. I'm going to pivot a little bit because I'm a little curious. You know, most of our organizations operate as nonprofits, so funding and operations looks a little different than probably how you all operate. Can you speak a little bit to those differences? And I mean, obviously you don't have to disclose things you're not comfortable disclosing, but I'm just curious for someone who's maybe wanting to start an organization or right at that start and making that decision between, man, do I go LLC? Do I go nonprofit? What are some differences there?
Yeah. So I love that question, actually. It was a choice, right? And I'm saying I because this was before Chris joined, right? And the reason that we are a for-profit business and not a non-for-profit is because I'm really big on sustainability. I've been before this, I was a financial advisor for 13 years. And so I know that funding sources change, and that if an organization doesn't have a way to communicate what they do, they don't have a plan for doing it that is able to be funded in multiple different ways, that they're not going to be sustainable. And so I took a look at the types of businesses that exist out there, and many of them are nonprofits competing for the same amount, the same buckets of money, and then are entirely dependent. Their funding sources are dependent on their funders, instead of dependent on the feedback from who they're serving. And so the reason we went with, which creates its own challenges, right? So let me step back. Like, that creates a challenge in that there's two very clear people that you're serving. One is your funder, and then the other one is your constituents, like the people that you are serving, like you are providing services to. And if your funding source is at risk because of a way that you are providing services, then you're going to make, then the chances that you will make a choice to keep the funder and not pay attention to the people that you're working with, are pretty high. Mm-hmm. And so it's not about, like, then the decisions are no longer about, hey, these are the people that we're serving and this is how we're serving them and this is what they need. It's really about, hey, we're going to run out of money and, we have to make a decision to keep this bucket of money. And so the services are not, maybe not going to get, not going to continue. And so I took a look at it, like, that's a great way to fund, like, that's a great way to start things, mm-hmm. but it's not a good way to continue things. And so there's a tendency, just because of human beings being human beings, right, for bias, that we're going to keep doing what we've always done, in order to keep getting what we've always got. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's one of those things that I was like, who are we going to serve? And I would rather serve the people that we are here for. And so what that looks like is that we did make a conscious decision to go with an LLC, instead of seeking a nonprofit status right off the bat, because we wanted to make certain that we could create a product and a service that would be self-supporting and sustainable. Mm-hmm. And that during that, 50% of our work time goes to nonprofit work, right? So we still do 50% of our work is nonprofit. And we do that through partnerships and through commitment, right? Like the commitment that we make is that 50% of whatever's happening is going to be, like, in some way, shape, or form, it's going to be funded so that it is available at no cost, right? Mm-hmm. And at first, that was really hard, right? Because that meant that, well, which part of that do we do, right? And it became, well, advocacy is really important, and that's something that we can continuously do. Creating partnerships is extremely important, and that's something that we can continuously do. And we can make space. Like, that is something that we've been able to do, right? And then the other piece of that is, how do we get funding for those types of things, right? So we've been able to partner with organizations that provide scholarships. We've been able to partner with, we've been able to take money from our own bucket and put it in, invest it into the things that we want to be able to do. So, like, an example of that is we've had this, this year we've had something called Dolan Speaker Series, where we partnered with ORN and we provide the space and the snacks and, a large portion of marketing, and ORN is providing, like, the speakers to come in, and all of it is being done for at no cost. I'm reluctant to say free, because someone is paying for it.
Right.
And nothing is ever free. Something is always paying for it. Right. So, like, we've been able to offer it at no cost to people that choose to participate. We've also been able to partner with other organizations to do similar things. And we do that through consulting through, like, lifting people up. And the other part of that, the reason, and it is a hard slog, right? It's not an easy thing. Just like running a nonprofit is not easy. But because we've been able to do this, we have a pathway to sustainability. We have really tremendous relationships. We're able to really hear what people are saying to us and, like, provide solutions that are community-based, that are principle-centered, that are rooted in peer and recovery principles and coaching principles. And now we have ideas, right? So, like, now when a nonprofit reaches out to us and says, hey, we want to figure out a pathway to sustainability so that we can one day not have to rely on grants, great. Like, we have ideas around that and we can support you with that. Mm-hmm. And that has come about because we've made this really hard choice. And I'll say, like, one last thing, and it's that these dollars, like, funding, like, the funding sources that we have right now, they're, like, we're, like, the government and other agencies are trying to figure out, like, including the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence. So where are they? How can we, like, expand them and make them more robust and helpful? And those dollars, once they're flowing, it's going to be great, but then they're going to dry up too. And so we still need a pathway to sustainability. And if we're focused on that pathway to sustainability, if we can communicate that and we can support nonprofits, right? And we can support businesses in being sustainable and being able to say, like, hey, when you invest money into this service, this is your outcome, right? So, like, we've been able to say, this is the data and this is how you, like, these are outcome measures you need to be able to share with your investors and your funders. Mm-hmm. And your community about the good that you're doing. Like, those have been hard lessons that we've had to learn, and now we can share them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can help to make it easier to make that transition or to choose that different thing? I know that was a really roundabout way of answering that was long-winded. But I think it's important that people understand, like, when you are a nonprofit, it is a business. You know, and we are a business, and we have to consider the same things. Anything you would add to them?
Oh, I have nothing to add. I am not the financial money person in the company. I let Joanna work that out. But it's interesting. You know, a lot of people assume we're nonprofit, but we are not.
No, I think that's super helpful perspective. And because the reason I pose the question is so many of our stakeholders, so many of the organizations in the recovery ecosystem are nonprofit. And I do think we're seeing more and more for-profit models pop up. So just trying to get those nuggets of information for folks who are either making that switch or at that moment of decision-making, like, what that can look like and how that can operate.
Girl, I love that line of thinking. Can I say something else about this?
Do it. Go for it.
Thank you. Okay. So, like, my thought around it is, like, we have to think about this, right, from a strategic place. The strategic thing is that if, like, whoever pays our bills, we are responsible and accountable to them. And if they don't like what we're doing, then they're not going to keep paying our bills. We need to ask ourselves, like, who's paying the bill? Why are they paying the bill? What will I owe them if I accept this money? What does that mean for my organization? And what does that mean for the people that we serve? Because we're not just serving people, we're in partnership with the people. Right. So, like, she gets to walk with someone from, I think I want to be a peer supporter to I'm a peer supporter. Now what? Right. And, like, helping to bridge that gap and walking with someone. And all through that, we're in partnership. We are peers to peers. Right. And so that means that we're peers to organizations too. Right. So we're constantly in partnership. We're constantly walking the same exact path. And so we have to ask ourselves, like, making the decision to take on more of a executive director role here at Dolan, and Chris to be more of the person that walks along each and every step, was a huge one for me, because it meant, what does that mean for the people that we're in partnership with? Well, it means that the people we're in partnership with are going to get more attention because Chris is there, you know, and Chris is walking with them. And so, like, when we go and we have a conversation at a ROSC, or we go and we deliver, like, I mean, I still give people Narcan, you know, like, so when, and I know Chris does peer work too, right? So when we're out in our community doing this work, we're thinking, like, well, what does that look like for the other people that we're touching? And so that brings it back to that question, right? Like, what does taking the money and allowing someone to pay our bills mean for the organizations that we're in partnership with, the peers that we're in partnership with, the coaches that we're in partnership with, the CEOs and the executive directors that we're in partnership with, and more importantly, for the moms and the dads and the sisters and the brothers and the other siblings, right, that we are in partnership with, and for the people the person that we're giving Narcan to, you know, that we're in partnership with, like, what does it mean all the way down the stream? And so, like, it requires a bigger lens. And that's where lots and lots of conversations come into play, like asking lots and lots of people, like, hey, and having advisory people that you can pick up the phone and say, I need some help. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what's happening here. Is this what's happening, and then having people that can do that. So, you know, just like the follow-up to that, who, what, where, when, why, right? And what does it mean to all of these stakeholders is also, what does it mean? Like, who do I need to have on my team advising me? And who does Chris need to have on her team? And who does Dolan need to have on our team to advise us so that we can make the greatest possible positive life-affirming impact on the people that we touch, on the organizations that we touch, and on the communities that we are part of. And all of that comes down to intention. What is my intention for my organization today, tomorrow, and 20 years down the road? Right people, right direction, right bus, and the right seats.
Mm. Well said, Joanna. I know we're a little over time. Is there, before we wrap this whole thing up, is there anything else either of you want to add or share?
Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, a good chunk of the work that we do, like what Joanna said, is kind of like nonprofit work or pro bono, however you want to, sure. However you want to label it, you know? And I appreciate like being able to walk alongside the peers and building those relationships. I really appreciate having the space to do that. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like there have been so many connections made that it really, you know, call it what you will, serendipitous, or, you know, what other word you want to use. But I truly believe that it's like, you know, it was divinely inspired. You know, some of the relationships that we've built and the things that we've been able to do have, you know, started with just a conversation, and then that led to coffee, and then that led to, you know, hey, how can we support you? Which then led to, let's see if we can build something for you, which then led to, hey, we built this product for you. And, you know, and I really love the cadence of a lot of how that goes. And so, you know, when I was listening to Joanna talk about like being in partnership, like that truly is, you know, the relationship. It's a partnership, you know, and I like, you know, that's probably my favorite part of the work that we do. And one of the things that came out of the partnership was I was really interested in seeing where recovery-oriented systems of care were here in the state of Maryland. Where are they located? What do they look like? How are they serving the community? Which then led to the opportunity to sit in a ROSC meeting, which then led to being a part of the ROSC, you know, which then led to looking into other stakeholders who were interested in ROSC. And anyway, as this relationship has grown, like I've learned of other peers and I've connected other organizations, and that's not like I'm not having to like log hours, right? Or like keep up with like anything like that. Like that is just work that is a principle of Dolan that we get to do. And I really appreciate the ability to be able to do that. And at the end of the day, we are a business. Like we have to put food on the table, you know, that's just a fact. But a lot of those connections and relationships have led to, you know, us building a product that then gets to be, you know, implemented. And yeah, I just think, you know, that relationship piece is so important. And it has become, you know, important to me in building.
Very cool. Thank you, Chris.
Love that. I think I would just add, like, wherever you're at, like, don't stop, because if you started on this journey to provide, you know, to put your hand out and help someone, don't stop. Keep being engaged and keep connecting, right? Like, I get to enjoy relationships here in Maryland and also all throughout the country and the world now, and would not have been able to do that without one person, right? Like Chris said it, you know, this one conversation led to this, which led to this, which led to this. And that's how business and nonprofit stuff works, right? Like that's how it works as a peer in, like, on the front lines, just like that's how it works as a peer, you know, working with people that have like 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more in recovery, is like it's one conversation and just choosing to help that one person that's right in front of you and really listen. And I mean, like, that's how my relationship with the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence started, you know, is that is literally how that started. And that's how I ended up on the steering committee. And, you know, like, if you say yes, I'm going to help and I'm going to be here and I'm going to do this right now, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, then you get to do some really cool things. We get to do some really cool things. And I just want to say thank you, Shannon, for all that you do at the Peer Recovery Center of Excellence to support peers and to support the organizations that work with peers. Because ultimately you're helping save lives, and like that is really what matters. And I couldn't ask for a better partner than you, like in the center and also like in the community. And I'm just really grateful that our paths have crossed, and my prayer is that they continue to cross and that we'll continue to be able to help people in really profound and life-saving and life-affirming ways. So thank you.
Well, ditto all of that, Joanna. Thank you so much. And thank you both for being here today and sharing your insights with the field.
Thank you for connecting with us, listeners. Our goals in sharing stories and information is to provide hope and resources to the field of peer recovery. Please join us again next time on Recovery Talk. You can find our episodes on our website, peerrecoverynow.org. That's peerrecoverynow.org, or wherever you find your podcasts. The Peer Recovery Center of Excellence is funded by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration to enhance peer recovery support services by expanding access to training and technical assistance service across the country. The views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the official policies of the Department of Health and Human Services, nor does mention of trade names, commercial practices, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. Talk with you next time.